we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Welcome again to the news quiz coming from the Whittler Hall in Belfast. We start with a quote from the re-elected President of the United States, George W. Bush, read for us by Brian Perkins.
I have opinions of my own, strong opinions, but I don't always agree with them.
And so say all of us. Thanks to Jane Colebrook from London for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome, first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and a very welcome newcomer, the BBC's Northern Ireland correspondent, Dennis Murray. And facing them on my left, Armando Iannucci and Jack Dee. Jeremy, you get the traditional easy question. Where did the elephants make donkeys look like asses?
There was a film came out called The Day After Tomorrow, in which a huge ice age happens and America is just covered in ice and everyone has to leave and go and live in Mexico, those who survive. And I think that's probably the only way forward now. I think if that's climate change, bring it on, as they say. Yeah, no, your man Bush has won and Kerry had to ring and concede. But you rather wish Kerry, instead of being gracious, had said, "Congratulations, Mr. President, on a well-fought campaign. However, you are a stupid, ignorant, lazy, bellicose fundamentalist who gives Christians a bad name. And you try not to stereotype Americans and say they're all stupid and venal, ignorant and Americocentric, but then they do something like that, and you just think, oh no, stop playing up to your stereotype. Just do something different. But they've elected a man who's a case for alcoholics not recovering.
That was our diplomatic correspondent.
I'm actually quite glad he didn't get in, Kerry, because frankly, I don't think I could have taken much more of that chin. They should have really just sat him down and said, "Sorry, mate, you've just got a stupid chin."
Kerry was accused of sort of flip-flopping on different issues. And I thought that was all just pretend on the part of the Republicans. But there was a quote from Kerry. He was asked at a press conference, if he had been president 4 years ago, would he have invaded Iraq? And he actually said, "You bet I might have."
In order to get people to vote in the American elections, the parties gave away lots of free stuff, according to one of the papers I read this week, including free underwear. Now, can you imagine that in Northern Ireland?
I wished I'd been issued with free underwear when I heard the result, I tell you.
George W. Bush has finally been elected president of the United States, 4 years late. In his message of congratulation to Mr. Bush, the French President Jacques Chirac said that cooperation between America and France must evolve in a spirit of dialogue, mutual esteem and respect. Mr. Bush responded with a message beginning, "Dear cheese-eating surrender monkey." Dennis, welcome to the news quiz. Who has felt the smack of firm government this week?
This is the backbench rebellion about reasonable chastisement of your children. And I must say, I have lots of children, four of them. And being of the generation I am, well, when they were small, yes, they might have got a little tap on the wrist here and there. But now they're taller than me. Any chance of their car keys, Dad?
Aye, son, here you go.
2 points, please.
Said reasonable chastisement of children that does not show any marks. And so my tip to you, I've got three kids. My tip to you is, before smackage, I'll just put a bit of foundation and makeup on your on the palm of your hand. And that way you can chastise your kids and make them look 10 years younger.
Isn't it time that children were armed? Because I think then there would be a level playing field. Because they are small and they're a bit, you know, they're a bit slow. They've usually got a PlayStation in their hands. So they're not easy, they're not ready to defend themselves. But if they had a sidearm, just a small thing, you know, not a high velocity, just like a 2-2 or something like that.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again, if you can smack children, you should be allowed to smack old people because they're a nuisance as well. The pro-smacking lobby, their main argument is that you have to smack them sometimes. It really is the only language you understand. Which is, you could apply that to tourists.
What we should do when Oscar winners are getting their awards is run up on the stage and say, in a minute I'll give you something to cry about.
Rebel Labour MPs have failed in a bid to make smacking children illegal, with the Commons voting only to prevent smacking, which leaves a visible mark or causes mental harm to children. News that spanking will remain legal will come as quite a relief to many parents, not to mention a few MPs. Jack, who did mention the war but was still given a right royal welcome?
This must be the Queen, who is in Germany at the moment, and didn't apologise for the war, but controversially did say that in war both sides suffer enormously. I'm sure that, in fact, Prince Philip was sitting behind, as I saw the speech, and I saw him coughing very loudly, going, "You started it!"
She should really apologise to the Germans for breaking up the family, shouldn't she?
It was a cartoon in one of the German newspapers this week, just to show the Germans do have a sense of humour. One of the Frankfurt papers, which had the Queen apologising for Jeff Hurst's goal in the 1966 World Cup.
This week, the Queen made a 3-day state visit to Germany. The Queen's visitors unleashed a torrent of articles complaining about the British hatred and Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude is German for delight in the misfortunes of others, which is why it's Prince Philip's middle name. Armando, listen to this. Amanda, who said we should take a chance this week?
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance, chance. Mm-hmm. Don't know why I did that. I'm just... This is Tessa Jowell, who's Minister for Gambling. And I don't quite understand her legislation. She wants to discourage children from gambling, but once they hit 18, she wants them to gamble as much as possible. And there's just going to be gambling everywhere. When we vote, if we pay a pound, we can have a thunder vote. And,
Maybe that's what's wrong with the Americans, that they're not allowed to gamble. So for once in their life, they thought, we are going to risk losing everything.
Do you think your next leader, Reverend M. Paisley, would approve of a super casino in Belfast?
I doubt it very much. That's just a guess.
I think we're a fairly controlled nation when it comes to gambling. I don't think we have a problem. My favourite thing about the lottery, for instance, was that one of the first huge rollover lotteries was a £12 million win, was won by an Asian gentleman who subsequently got into a lot of trouble with his family because he was Muslim and not supposed to gamble. And I thought he dealt with it very graciously. He just came straight out and said, "You're right, I'll never gamble again."
It's the government's gambling bill, which got a second reading despite a backbench revolt in the Commons. Tessa Jowell pledged to protect the weak and the vulnerable, which produced an outcry from the Liberal Democrats, who said they could look after themselves very well. At the end of round one, everybody has 4 points. And we start round two with a classified ad seen in the Somerset County Gazette.
For sale, small range of rifles and shotguns, plus collector's knives, ideal for Christmas.
Thanks to Ruth Coles of Taunton, Somerset, for sending that in. Jeremy, why does the government want old people to bend to its every whim?
There's this idea that old people should do Tai Chi. which is just a made-up thing. It's just Chinese people taking the piss. They figure... Basically, they watched all those kung fu episodes in the 70s and borrowed all the bits of the fighting slowed down. Chinese people have been doing this, and non-Chinese people have taken it up. But the thing is, Chinese people look quite cool doing it, and white people just look stupid. Well, you see these people in the park standing there doing this ridiculous slow-motion exercise, and I just wish people would mug them.
It's one of these things where you move incredibly slowly and hardly get anywhere, but they see that old people do that going down the pavement anyway. Why they have to make an art form of it, I don't know.
My only complaint about old people is I think they should drive faster than they walk. Really, if you're going to be in a car, at least, you know, get the benefit from it.
I agree they should drive fast. I also think they should be made to sit on a cushion as well in the driving seat, because that is terrifying when you see a car going past. With no one driving it.
The government wants older people to be provided with Tai Chi classes on the NHS to promote their physical and mental well-being. They're also being advised by the government to take up activities such as dancing, horse riding, cycling, even roller skating, suggesting that the NHS may have confused being old with starring in a tampon commercial. Dennis, whose service is far from first class?
Whose service is far from first class?
Mm-hmm. Tim Henman, for one. Anyway, sorry.
Somebody,
Dennis, you had a
whose service is far from first class? Anybody? Anyone in the audience know? Post office. Post office. Thank you, Amanda.
Post office, yes. Post office wants to shut down, allegedly, 270-odd post offices in the high street.
Yep.
My colleague Kevin McKay did a piece from Manchester, I think, this week, which showed the queue inside the post office in the high street, snaking around it about four times. But news just in. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. The post office now say they only want to close five of them. And, for a bonus point, a new one was opened in Belfast today.
What do points mean?
No, post office is going to go extinct, aren't they? Which would be a tragedy, really, because nowhere else can you actually go under one roof and come out with a book of stamps, a magnum and a pair of support tights. The other sad thing about post offices closing down, of course, is that Brian Perkins does make a handy... Because what he does during the day, you don't know this, but he's the one who goes counter number two. But do one for us, Brian.
Counter number two.
He's a public service genius, that man.
Royal Mail is said to have lost up to £70 million last year. But that serves them right for sending the money through the post. Jack, listen to this.
It's pop music.
Jack, why have bishops got their knickers in a twist this week?
It's about whether women can become bishops. And many members of the Church of England are saying that that shouldn't be allowed, primarily because none of Jesus' disciples were women. I think, really, it's all such a load of nonsense, because I think women... It's probably just as well Jesus didn't have any female disciples, because he would never have got on with doing his miracles, really. I'm just going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. You're drunk again, aren't you, Jesus? No, I'm not. Watch me. I'm going to the cave about a minute. And he would never turn water into wine, because she would have dragged him off way before that point of the party. Come on, in the car.
The Church of England's solution to this, or proposal, was that you set up a province for men-only priests.
Is that a magazine?
Bishops' wives.
The Church of England is facing a serious split over the argument to allow female bishops. Female bishops are just like male bishops, but much more capable of multitasking. Amanda, why did Britain's space programme go to the dogs?
Ah, space. I'm a big fan of space. I always follow space missions, even when they get increasingly desperate.
You don't follow them that far, though, do you?
Well, I follow the British ones because they don't go that far. Way back, nearly this time last year, we sent up Beagle 2, and it was great. At the time, we said, isn't this marvellous? We're sending an Explorer satellite to Mars, and it's so typically British, which is great about it, because it's pioneered by someone who looks like a farmer, and halfway there, it ran out of red diesel, and... And meanwhile, all the American satellites just whizzed past them, honking their horns, like, very flash, like a big sort of pimp mobile.
But there was also on Beagle 2, there was a Damien Hirst painting on board.
Yeah,
he put on, and the whole thing went missing. Mm. So that's not all bad news.
A report by the Commons Science and Technology Committee blamed the failure of the Mars lander Beagle 2 on a lack of cash. That and the fact that both beagles had trouble breathing on Mars owing to their 50-a-day habit. And at the end of round two, Jeremy and Dennis, 8 points. Jack and Armando, 9. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting scene in Jane's Airport Review.
Congress will also want an explanation of how an airline passenger in July was able to exit the terminal building in Atlanta Hartsfield by walking through a security door, sounding an alarm without security response, and then drove a baggage tractor onto a runway. When apprehended, the individual was asked to show his airport ramp pass. He was unable to do this since, first, he didn't possess one, and second, he was clad only in a pair of pyjama bottoms.
Thanks to Alistair Hugill of Leamington Spa for that. Jeremy, listen to this. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car. And baby, I love you. Jeremy, whose post-test celebrations turned into one hell of a journey.
It's a happy story. It sounds like it's going to be really grim. A car goes off a cliff and the people inside are all right. And the only thing that makes it slightly remarkable is that the girl who drove the car off the cliff had just passed her test. So she was excited. It kind of slightly invalidates the test, really. If you were that examiner, you'd think, oh, maybe I should have done the not driving the car off the cliff bit. But this girl, she passed her test and within minutes was plunging her and her friends towards the abyss. This is Michael Burke's dream, this. I can't wait to see the reconstruction. You'll have the whole driving test and the whole bit. Mates getting in the car, goes off the cliff. But it all ended a bit ordinarily because, like, they didn't have to eat each other or anything. It hasn't got the makings of a film about it, you know. No sort of lunatic in a hood with a scythe appeared, or there's no chainsaws. One of them didn't get out of the car and think, oh, I'll just go and check out that old haunted house over there for help. They sat in the car, they had mobile phones, they phoned up, people came and rescued them. It's not a very good story, Simon. You really need to think about this show. There are other people that can do your job. You need to... It's just basically reading stuff out. It's not hard. So unless you find better stuff to ask us, you know, you're going to be toast, sweetheart. Show business is a rough game. Not who's there, Simon. Simon who? Exactly.
Seventeen-year-old Lauren Miller of Jersey celebrated passing her driving test by driving off a 100-foot cliff with 3 friends. It rolled over 3 times before the car landed just inches from the sea and rocks, and if you think that's bad, next week she's trying for her pilot's licence. Dennis, which new product means it won't just be the men acting like old goats?
Human rights lawyers would describe this as a cruel and unusual question, on the basis that the only person from Northern Ireland in a huge hall full of people from Northern Ireland gets asked the question about aphrodisiacs for women. This is a new herbal remedy. Hope that was the right word to use.
You're
worried about this, aren't you?
There's a very good reason why, too.
In Northern Ireland, sex isn't done. It's committed.
It's called Femiex, something like that. It's a herbal remedy, and it has the... the main ingredient is entirely appropriately called horny goat weed. And apparently it makes women more sensitive and sensuous. And I just have to say something very clearly. Irish women don't need this because they're just gorgeous to start with. Where's seat 23? Hi, darling.
That's you getting laid later, then, isn't it? You saucy devil. Is it... So it's for women, is it, this pill?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Horny goat weed.
Isn't that a rapper?
Femiex is a modern love potion for women produced by British herbal expert Professor Peter Houghton. Test subjects asked if the new remedy worked replied, yes, yes, yes. I'll have what she's having.
Can I just say I thought that was quite worrying when you pretended to be a woman having an orgasm?
I just hear it so often. It's
yeah.
In my lonely hotel room. Armando, your last question. This time, next year, let's be laughing together. Discuss.
Well, that is some scientists in Japan spent a long time trying to work out what would be the perfect chat-up line. And they came up with the phrase... this time next year, let us be laughing together. Which is what Tessa Jowell said to American casino owners.
The Ulster chat-up line of all time is, you look like a nice girl, what's your name? It's a friend of mine in a hotel in Dublin once.
Go on, it's you really, isn't it? It's just because your wife's in the audience, but let's hear the story.
To use an Ulster phrase, he said, I was chatting up this young thing. And I said to her, as you do with a couple of beers in you, where have you been all my life? And she said, in school mostly.
The trouble with the Belfast accent is it does have a slightly different resonance. I was once booked to play at the Ardoin Flaa, and they double booked my gig with the GAA arm wrestling competition. So we'd lost the room, and my friend said, he said, well, it'd be a shame to cancel, Jeremy, because we don't want to waste you. I thought, yes, please don't.
One of Japanese experts claims the perfect chat-up line is, this time next year we'll be laughing together. There was a recent poll, the world's worst chat-up lines were said to be, 5, are you tired? You've been running around my mind all night. 4, was your father a thief? Someone must have stolen the stars and put them in your eyes.
That one worked.
3, I and you should be together in the alphabet. 2, last night I tried to kill the world's greatest lover, but then I remembered that suicide is a sin. The number one worst chat-up line of all time is, hi, my name's Robert Kilroy Soap. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This was sent in by Jane and Nick Rogers of Skipton in Yorkshire, which is in England. And it says, Greg's staff in Skipton are celebrating after the firm scooped a prestigious award for tit sandwiches. I'm not saying it's right, it's just what it says in the paper. It's not my view.
Dennis.
This comes from Leslie Pearson in Edinburgh, and I think this is most appropriate coming from me, which is, it's from the Radio Times at the end of October, page 106, Thursday's listings. BBC Two, 8:50 p.m, Stately Stoats. A female stoat raises a family in Derbyshire with Bill Oddie.
Jack.
This is sent in by Julian Marchant. More than 6,000 cannabis plants have been seized after police raided 3 factories in Lewisham. Detective Chief Inspector Simon Cunning from Lewisham CID said this will be a significant blow.
Armando.
Well, this was spotted by Steve Webster from Lanarkshire, which it was an item that was listed on eBay. It was for an Alfa Romeo 156,
And it says, car has recently had a new gearbox, clutch, power steering pipes and tyres. I've owned for over a year and has never had any problems at all.
Sure, let's look at the final scores. Jeremy and Dennis have 16 points, but Jack and Armando have clung to their lead and are this week's winners with 17. And before we leave you, here's an item seen in the Calvary Methodist Church Parish Newsletter.
Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist Church. Come and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Dennis Murray, Jack Dee and Amanda Unici. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, George Poles and Lucy Clark. The panellist, Goldfish, were tickled by Ted Pheasant and the producer was Simon Nichols.
You'll be pleased to know that a new series of the news quiz will be back in January.